What is God's kingdom like? This reading is taken from Mark 4, verses 30 to 34, and it's been paraphrased by Jonathan. Jesus used earthly stories called parables, parables which have a heavenly meaning, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, to explain the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, "What example can I use to show you what God's kingdom is like? What story can I use to explain it?" God's kingdom is like a mustard seed. That's the small, which is smaller than any other seed on earth that you can plant. But when you plant this tiny seed, it grows and becomes the largest of all the plants in your garden. It has massive branches which provide shelter. The wild birds make nests there and are protected from the sun. It is a comfortable place to live. Jesus used many stories like these to teach the people. He taught them all so they could understand. He always used stories to teach them. But when he was alone with his followers, Jesus explained everything to them.
Thank you very much. Well, once again, lovely to see you all. Kingdom of heaven, let's get it done. Coming up. Then we've got the parable. This is not in the Bible, actually, because I believe that Jesus gave us... Did you hear from the reading? He said, explain everything by parables. So I've got this parable of the police record, which I shall tell you later. Every breath you take. Mark that one. And then finally, I got a psalm, peace for you. Isn't that... Do you see how I've been clever that? Like a text. Do you see... Like a text, can you see that out there? Yeah. Peace for you. But it begins with some peace for you. So it could be some peace for you. You're impressed, aren't you? Yes, very good. Now, the kingdom of heaven, let's get it done. What I want to do is to bring you to a point of some permanence. Because haven't we been rocked politically in our nation? Is gone from one thing to another. Nobody knows where they are or where they're going or where they've been. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, offers us a permanent place in society that isn't rocked by all these things. And, you know, a few weeks ago, it was Brexit, 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 every news report. Then Trump causes a war in Iran. And then it's all moved on. And then Harry and Meghan say they want to be half royals. And everything moves on again. But the kingdom of heaven stays permanent. The kingdom of God does not change. And the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is sort of basically the same thing. But I'm told by theologians that it's mentioned 21 times in the Bible. So it must be significant. It must be something that we need to take note of. Now, if joy and optimism upsets you, look away now, because where we're going is into joy and optimism. And why do I say that? Because if any of you ever take a public platform or you have to speak to people, it is easy to offend, isn't it? It is so easy to cause offence. The latest cause of offence is the Mr. Men books. Did you know that? Because they're gender specific. Whoa. So I won't mention the Mr. Men books, so you won't be offended by that. But I've not had anybody come up to me in a nasty way after I've been speaking, but they'll come up and say, do you know, your joy and optimism causes us concern because it's a terrible world. It's full of wickedness. It's full of degradation. There are unpleasant things happening all the time. We cannot see that there's any place for joy or optimism. And of course, that little chat always lifts my spirits. but I can only give you one response to this. There is only one response that I think is possible, that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Is there anything that can be beyond his redemption? I think not. He can redeem. And so I look at the, you know, we've had the Twin Towers in America, a terrible thing. But what did we see mixed in with that was sacrifice, people willing to give their lives to others. Can you see how the gospel is in that little statement, the sacrificial giving? Look at Chernobyl, you know, where the nuclear power station exploded. It's still a tragic sight, but amazingly, nature is taking it back. And if you've seen any films about Chernobyl recently, it is beginning to be overgrown and the toxicity is beginning to reduce. God is redeeming. And then most recently, we've had the London Bridge attacks. Horrendous. And you could feel really depressed by it, but then I see the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ coming through again. People who were willing to lay down their lives for others. What does that speak to us about? The Lord Jesus Christ was as prepared to go that far. So here we go into joy and optimism. Let's move on to, oh, I can see it coming in. A new year. We've celebrated that with the children. A new party. Yes, the new party is the Kingdom of Heaven party, which I bring to you this morning. Enter the Kingdom of Heaven. So let's just look at the membership qualification. If you're a Christian, you see, Jesus didn't talk about being a Christian, did he? Because that didn't come till after his death. But before his death, he was saying, enter the Kingdom of Heaven. And if it hadn't been for this sort of nickname of Christian that had come on, we'd be talking about, as Christians, we were entering into the Kingdom of Heaven. We were becoming Christians. So God raised us up and seated us in the heavenly kingdom with Christ Jesus. So he can show us the incredible riches of God's grace as seen through Christ Jesus. For it is by grace we are saved through faith. Not by ourselves, nor by hard work or working hard. For it is the gift of God, so that no one can boast about their achievements. And I thought I'd bring this in at this point, because as I ramble on, you'll gradually glaze over and I'll watch your little eyes are beginning to close. Here is the nub of the Christian message, isn't it? It's by faith. It is by grace that we step from where we are into the kingdom of God. Once you've stepped into the kingdom of God, it seems that we've got some jobs to do. But we'll look at that in a moment, because look at the way Jesus operated. He was more, can you imagine this, more controversial than Nigel Farage. Because when he was here, what did the Jews want? They wanted what I would call Jexit. They wanted the Jews to exit from the Roman Empire, didn't they? And they thought Jesus was going to bring it on. And they were probably shouting out, we want Jexit, we want Jexit. And Jesus was saying, no, what we want is to bring the kingdom of heaven to the Jewish people and to the Roman people. We want to change the thought patterns. We want to change the way we think about these things. We don't want revolution. We want the kingdom of heaven. Also, Jesus, I would say he was more challenging than David Attenborough. Because when we look at love your neighbor, goodness, the things, we look at it in this thing where I'm going to pop round to my neighbor and see if they're all right and, you know, have they got their heating on and all things like that. But it's in the bigger side. If we look at the environment, what response, in our prayers it was mentioned, wasn't it? How we need to respond to our environment. You know, love your neighbor is bigger than what we might think it is. It's as big as about everything that we do. So it's more challenging than David Attenborough. And then there was the wonderful character, Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, he was a martyr. But you see, the difference with Jesus was he was a sacrifice. Can you see the difference there? Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't looking to die in that way, was he? But Jesus was a sacrifice. So that's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. And let's turn over and then look at it, the leader of the kingdom of heaven. And I've actually, so I get these things right, I'm going to tell you about the leader of the kingdom of heaven. So let's listen to 1 Timothy 6. And God is the one who gives life to everything. Now I tell you this, do what you are commanded to do without fault or blame until the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Tough requirement. God will make this happen at the right time. God is the blessed and the only ruler. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is the only one who never dies. He lives in light so bright that people cannot go near it. No one has ever seen him. No one is able to see him. All honor and power belong to him forever. If you look at the world leaders, none of them are qualified in that way. So this is the person that we're dealing with, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You don't get any further than that. So what's the manifesto then for the kingdom of heaven? You've heard about lots of manifestos. Well, the kingdom of heaven doesn't promise you free broadband. I'd make that clear this morning in case I get interviewed later. Did you mean free broadband? No, I didn't. Not free broadband. Not any of those things that is going to entice us to vote for a particular party. No, the manifesto works the other way around. It is, what are we going to do for the kingdom of heaven? Not what the kingdom of heaven is going to do for us. It is we who are the kingdom of heaven. And this is what it says. It's very simple, really. Jesus said unto them, what is written in the law? This is Nicodemus. What do you understand from it? The man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. Also, love your neighbor the same as you love yourself. Jesus said, your answer is right. Do this and you'll have eternal life. What a manifesto is that? It's all contained in a very, very short paragraph there. So you haven't got to go and find the grade book and read all the way through that. I give it to you this morning in simple terms. And so what is the policy? What is our policy in the kingdom of heaven? Micah 6:8. This is what the Lord requires of us. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. What a policy. I'll just read that again because I quite like it. This is what the Lord requires of us. To act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. So there we are. Look, we've got who is the leader of the kingdom. I've explained that to you. I've given you the manifesto. And now I've given you the policy. Walk humbly with our God. Shall we turn the page? So, getting the delivering the manifesto. Now that is quite a difficult thing, actually. Let's get it done. So, who is my neighbour? We've rehearsed this with the children already. Think and love outside the box. Now, with manifestos, everybody's saying, what's the cost of it? Well, a smile a day is a very low-cost option in the manifesto, isn't it? And it is amazing how that changes people's lives. If you're around the supermarket, especially around the time of the one in Framlingham, around the co-op there, I used to go around there a lot. I've got a bed there, I go around there so much. And I would meet people who are really down in the dumps about this, and they fail to smile anymore. And then suddenly somebody on the checkout would smile, and it would lift the whole atmosphere. So We can do that. We don't want to go around grinning, do we? No, no, like Cheshire Cat. A nice smile starts to, as it were, melt the ice to allow the kingdom of heaven to take effect. Now, this is one of the things I actually like. I'm quite passionate about this idea of redeeming the secular. And we've got a song coming later where I hope that's going to redeem the secular. Because if we look at, you watch a television program, and if you look for the redemptive qualities in it, if you can't see a redemptive, some of these dramas are so dark now, aren't they? It's very difficult. I'm such a wimp, I can't watch them, but it's very difficult to find the redemption in some of these. But many of the dramas are, you will see the bad happening and you will see the good happening. There's redemption, isn't it? And you're just watching a drama and you're looking at it through the kingdom of heaven eyes. Yes. So you can redeem the secular. This is another little parable I've written. I haven't got this one on the list, but I'll just tell you this one. Because late in life, as you know, we have been blessed with grandchildren. It's been a bit difficult to cope with. And the issue of pushchairs. Does anybody know about the issue of pushchairs? When we had pushchairs, they were made of cast iron. And you knew all the young new parents because they'd all have bandages on their fingers because when you shut them, shut the pushchair, don't do that again. But now they're all very highly sophisticated. And we thought about, shall we get a twin pushchair for the new grandchildren? Do you know, a Ford Fiesta is cheaper than a... But both my daughters are very recycling-minded, and they are very much into preserving assets in this way. So they said, no, don't worry about that, Dad. We can probably get this done for £100. And I thought, that's interesting. So what they say is, and this is, here's some practical advice for any of you there. They say they go to, has anybody got a Range Rover here? No, that's all right. They go to car boot sales and they follow the Range Rovers in. And when the drop down piece comes down and the thing comes up and the merchandise comes out of the back, beautiful double pushchair for £100. Probably cost £1,500. Can you believe it? And so, there we are. We've got a pushchair. But a little way longer, this is something else I didn't know. The midgets grow out of pushchairs very quickly, don't they? You're going to have another one. And so my daughter came to me and said, Dad, something's wrong with the pushchair. When we push it, the brakes keep slamming on and we can't sell it in that condition. Can you have a look at it? So I said, yeah, bring it in. And I've got like the repair shop for all this sort of thing. So they bring it in and I said to my daughter, can you experiment? So I'm pushing it along and I said, it's fine. And suddenly the brakes slammed on. And she said, we've looked at it. We can't find out what's wrong with it. And so I said, yes. I think I know what's wrong with it. It's the time to pour in the oil of gladness. WD-40. Yeah? And would you believe that all these complicated braking mechanisms, I said to my daughter, where have you kept it? We kept it in the shed. They'd all got a bit of rust on them. And WD-40 in there, and suddenly the pushchair was good. And it would go back on eBay at £100, you see? No cost at all. So this is where the parable comes in, you see. Because sometimes we, as individuals, we're very valuable. We've come out from even better place than the Range Rover. And we're extremely valuable to God. But we get down in the dumps and the brakes go on, don't they? And somebody comes along and says, let me pour in the oil of gladness. I think you'll find that in Psalm 47. The oil of gladness. And somebody just pours the oil of gladness into your life and suddenly you're off again and you're valuable again. So there's two things there. One is you may be suffering from rust in your mechanisms and the oil of gladness comes in. The other thing is that you may be the person who brings in the oil of WD-40 gladness to the life of somebody. So can you see, this is a lovely parable there. We've redeemed the secular, which was only a pushchair a moment ago, and now, look at it, it's a great spiritual piece of mechanical wonder. The other thing I'd say about delivering the manifesto, let's get it done, is that we need to value alternatively wired and gifted people. That's a huge issue for the church, isn't it? Accepting everybody who comes. And we struggle with that. But I think it's important that we do. At a minor level, most of us have some disability and we cover it up, don't we? And I'm going to confess to you this morning, in order that you might identify with me, is that I'm dyslexic. And at school, one side of me was considered, you're a bright child, and then you're a thick child. You know, get your act together, Sullivan, on this side, and oh, well done, Sullivan, on that side. And it's just because I had that learning difficulty. I think I've disguised it. You haven't noticed it yet, have you? But can you see that each one of us will have that? And then, you know, there'll be other extremes. We have friends in the church who are bipolar. And one day they will be absolutely wonderful and they will take the stage and a beautiful spiritual message. And then the next day they will be actually sectioned and suicidal. Isn't that awful? Isn't that, you know... But we've got to be able to accept people who are wired differently to ourselves and who are gifted differently. Forgive as we are forgiven. I press on. Oh, here comes my parable. Parable of the police record, a sting in the tail. Let your light shine before everyone so they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Here is the story. It involves another Range Rover. I'm obsessed with Range Rovers, Dan. Here is the story. A senior executive was going to a very important board meeting in her Range Rover, of course. And as she pulled out into the traffic, she thought, I've left lots and lots of time to make my journey. And she was listening to Bach on Radio 3 and driving along in a very peaceful state. And suddenly the traffic jams up. You know how it goes. You get it in Ipswich at certain times, don't you? We get it a lot in Saxted, of course. And so there she is driving along and it's all very peaceful. And the traffic snarls up and then it clears a bit. And ahead of her, she sees a Nissan Micra with an old man in about my age. And he's obsessed with courtesy. Pull up at the zebra crossing, you know. Inviting people to cross that don't want to cross. Comes to the roundabout, giving way to people on this side. And she's beginning to become furious. With the multi-horns of the Range Rover. And they get a bit further down the road and there looks like some children want to cross the road. What do these children want to cross the road for now? He pulls up again and she's winding down the window and shouting out, you silly old person, get a move on. And he seems to be oblivious and he gives a little wave, goes on. A little further along the road, this happens. Can you see an unmarked police car? And a loudspeaker, will Range Rover so-and-so pull over to the next lay-by immediately. And she thinks, whatever, why me? I'm only just trying to get along the road. I haven't done anything that causes me to be pulled in, and they pull her in. And they said, lock the car, madam, get out, get in the police car. And so she gets in the police car and the police station is just around the corner and she's saying, but why? Don't you know who I am? I'm a senior executive. I'm going to an important board meeting. You're spoiling everything for me. And she goes off into one, quite rightly too, because she felt unjustly treated. And they put her into a holding place, not a lockable cell, but a place where she couldn't exit. And they say, madam, we want all your details, and you know all the way that police officers have to talk, blah, 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 like that. And after an hour, they came back and they said, "Madam, we offer you a sincere apology." She said, "Well, thank goodness for that. I should be talking to the chief constable. Why did you do it?" "Well, madam, on the back of your car, it says Jesus Christ is Lord, and there is the sign of a fish, and the police officers mistakenly thought you were a Christian because the way you were behaving clearly wasn't the case, and they thought someone had stolen the car." She was not minded to call the chief constable. She was minded to call the Lord Jesus Christ to say, "This is not letting your light shine before men. Here's the police. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, God will be watching us every single day, every word we say." Do you know, I've just redeemed another song, haven't I? Wasn't that clever? And then finally, dear brothers and sisters, we come to the psalm piece for you. I'll just check that I'm not misleading you in... No, where am I? Psalm piece for you, yes, that's the last one. Right, now, I explained to you how clever I'd been with my psalm piece, didn't I, and text. And I was watching the Christmas... I was cooking Christmas lunch, he said, brownie points, yes. Phoebe was at church, I was doing Christmas lunch, and I listened to the Anglican service, and I listened to the Catholic service, and I listened to the Pope's message. And they were lovely. They were lovely because I understood what the wording was. Do you know, the wording is not necessarily accessible, is it, to everybody? But I enjoyed it because I understood what the wording was. And I speak as an older person to some of you who are older, and you will remember when a tablet was an aspirin, won't you? And you will remember, those of you who went to church, when a tablet was the Ten Commandments upon which they were writ. Yes, you remember that, won't you? And of course, you'll also remember when a text was always John 3:16. But now, for the younger generation, these things mean something completely different. In the 60s, we were all gay, but we're not now, because that word has got a different meaning. You'll have to work that one out. But what I've done here is I was looking at Psalm 23 because I've had something called... Well, old people love to talk about their ailments, don't they? When we meet with our old relatives, we say, "Well, what have you got now?" And we all say, "Well, the doctor didn't do this and the doctor didn't do that." Well, I've had polymyalgia rheumatica, and it meant my shoulders froze up. I could hardly move. It's a horrible thing. And I was put onto steroids. Wow. Man, I was like Superman. But you have to come off them because they can be quite dangerous. So as I reduced, I would suddenly experience something. Let's talk about anxiety. I have enough anxiety to maintain my life, if you know what I mean. You've got to have a level of anxiety, haven't you? But as I dropped, I was saying to Phoebe, I said, "Do you know, I'm suffering about anxiety, about everything, about going out in the car, about whether the car will start, is my computer going to break?" Everything has suddenly become horrendous anxiety. And I sympathised with people with anxiety, but then I empathise with you if you have anxiety, because it is something that really grips a hold. I don't know if anybody here has experienced. I won't want you to admit it, but what I'm saying is it really grips a hold, and I was crying out to God, you know, saying, "What's happening?" Now, the joy of this was that it lasted about 3 days because it was the adjustment of the medication, and then I was back to normal. Well, my normal. And the family was relieved because, you know, my daughter was saying, "What's wrong with Dad?" And I said, I was very open about it because I thought, if I pretend I'm not, they'll know something is wrong. So I'm suffering from this anxiety. And the next time I dropped, I went through the same process. But the percentage drop gets bigger, doesn't it? You know, if you start at 15, you drop 1 milligram, you don't hardly notice that. When you get down to 4 and 5, you know, you're dropping 25%. And so the anxiety lasted longer. So, new peace. This is my Psalm 23. Psalm, peace for you. The Lord Jesus is my life coach who facilitates my full potential. I do not need to acquire more things to make me feel good. He relaxes me by a pollution-free environment and leads me beside tranquil lakes of inner calm where my stress levels evaporate. Even though I walk through the darkest valley of deep depression and extreme anxiety, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. You secure my mental health, and your gentle guiding stops me doing daft things. You exercise invisible, powerful deterrence against those who might do me harm, and this knowledge comforts me. You prepare a desk for me in your internet cafe, in full view of the scammers who cannot touch me. You anoint me with calming oil, which in turn gives me self-belief. This helps me proceed with unbounded optimism, faithfully secured in God's goodness and love, which follows me all the day long. Day by day is like living in God's comfortable luxury penthouse. I put that into sort of words that I thought would be accessible to everybody, because hopefully it relates to something. Those of us who are older know Psalm 23 off by heart. But in my restudying of it, I had a huge benefit from it. Yes. Now, I would like you, if you would be so kind, is to say this prayer with me. Unclutter our lives, Lord.
We have too much, receive too much, expect too much. Grant us perspective to see this world through Jesus Christ, and not just our own.
Amen. Yes, and here, what a sacrifice that saved my life. Here endeth the lesson.